This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macra and Tass. Our next guest is the former member for Hawthorn and former Attorney General, a shadow Attorney General, I should say. I got that wrong. John Pizzuto. Good morning, John.
Tass, Macca, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Great to have you in the studio.
Good morning. Now, you were preceded by Chris Bowen, the Federal Shadow Treasurer, and we're talking about franking credits. And so we always like a bit of balance on this show.
Political balance.
Political balance. Tass is very balanced.
Macra and I never balanced.
Never balanced. But I want to thank you for coming in, John. You, on the state election night, it was the ABC?
Yeah.
And you were commentating along with some other folk, and it became apparent during that broadcast that your seat was actually going to become a marginal Labor seat. And I remember at the time watching that, and I thought, what a gracious way, you know, you thanked the electors of Hawthorn, you didn't lose it, you know, it was clearly emotional. I thought it was a very impressive performance. And,
thank you, Macca.
And it was impressive because it was actually about the people that elected you, and I thought that was pretty good.
But, so, John, what did it really feel like to watch your seat just
like,
slipping between,
like
slipping through your fingers?
What he said.
Tass, it was a really interesting experience because you're not invited onto shows like that because it's expected you'll lose your seat, although, you know, it did wonders for the ratings, I suspect, to have somebody being, removed live on TV. But it certainly wasn't expected, but, you know, I'd always conducted my politics in a very fatalistic way, perhaps too fatalistically sometimes, because it took me a very long time to get there.
Yeah.
About 20 years it took me to finally win an election to get into Parliament. And so when I was there, I kid you not, I valued every day and thought, you know, I know how hard this was to get here. So I always would say to my staff and, you know, close people I worked with, you know, the key to politics is always remembering it's not about me, it's about you type thing. And I didn't make that up, but that's the sort of modus I used to operate under. And so when my staffer who came with me on the night first alerted me that, boss, you're in trouble. I said, trouble or trouble? as you can in capitalised text. And he said, it's looking pretty bad. And look, to be honest, on reflection, we knew it was going to be a tough fight to win the election. But did we see that coming? No. So it was something of an experience, I've got to say.
Now, we can debrief this all day, and I'm just very quickly going to ask you, why do you think that was the case?
We don't have enough time to go through it all, but Tass, what I would say is that, you know, the argument in politics today, I think, misses the point sometimes. All political parties, large and small, will argue over what their base is. And I said as much on the night, perhaps not as explicitly as this, but arguments over your base internalise you. And so if you want to be a party that represents the people broadly, you've got to be focused on them, not on internal clashes over how you burnish your credentials as this type of party or that type, whether you're, you know, conservative or moderate. I mean, I've always argued the Liberal Party has always been at its best when it's a broad tent. It brings everybody in. Your views are all welcome so long as they're not obnoxious.
I'm glad you're not using the word church.
Yeah. I mean, it's just got to be broad-based. And
yes.
Parties have to live with the challenge but also the virtue of being broad enough to handle disagreement as long as it's civil. And so I've been doing a lot of thinking and reflecting since the election and thinking, well, how do we become a party that regains the people's trust and can show them that, look, we're open to ideas and, you know, we welcome robust debate in the party. So when you ask why did we lose, I think what I'd say in a broad sense, Tass, is that I think we missed the mark on a lot of issues. And perhaps were focused a bit too internally. But you know, I'm glad to see Michael O'Brien, the new leader, is talking about, you know, re-engaging with the community. Now, that's what we have to start doing. And I know that might sound a bit hackneyed as a phrase, but we've got to start doing that.
Sure.
And if you deconstruct what that really means, it's going out and listening to views you might not have embraced before.
That's good. I like the sound of that. When are you going to go back? Would you like to go back to Parliament?
Yes, I would. But I'm very conscious, being the fatalistic person yes. I said I was, that comebacks are hard.
They are. Yeah.
They are really hard. And I've actually been doing a lot of reading, which I previously didn't have nearly the time to do, on people who've gone through major political setbacks and how they've gone about rebuilding their professional lives in the hope that maybe one day they can come back. If it comes, the opportunity comes, and I'll try to do what I can to help that. If it comes, I'll go for it, but
I think, John, I don't think that you lost the election. I think that the Liberal Party lost your election. And I think there's a distinction.
But sorry, Tess, it was also a case of, you know, it was a case where the opposition lost the election and the government won the election.
Yes.
It's usually one or the other. It was actually a case of both, and that's why the size of the loss was so great.
But in this instance, the point I'm making is that there's a distinction between you, John Pizzuto, who was the member for Hawthorne, and the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think people wanted to actually attack the Liberal Party, not necessarily you personally.
Yeah.
Look, I think there's a lot of truth in that. And I don't want to, though, in saying that, absolve myself. I always took the view, as the local member, you're responsible for winning your seat. And if you don't have that as a kind of overarching principle, you're going to be in trouble sooner or later. But the issues that people were raising with me were things neither I nor my state colleagues could do much about. I mean, there were the federal instability, we couldn't do a thing about that. No. And I had some people going into booths saying they were upset about Tony Abbott being deposed. I had other people going into the booth saying they were upset about Malcolm Turnbull being deposed, and I could assuage neither. Damned if I do. So, but there were other issues too, and I've made some comments publicly about the party needed to be a bit more broader and a bit more inclusive.
Now, John, we haven't got a lot of time left. You've written a couple of pieces for The Age recently, which I think is great. They're very thoughtful pieces. One, the earlier one, was Sunlight on Corruption, Still a Great Disinfectant, and another about Good Behaviour Deserves a Second Chance, which is around, the policy and how we deal with convictions and spent convictions. Corruption. So in Victoria we have IBAC, but IBAC, the Independent Broad-Based something
anti-corruption.
They don't have public hearings. So how do we know what's being said? How do we know that they're actually doing the job? There's, you know, surely the punter, who this is supposed to be about protecting us from corruption, if you don't have public hearings, it's just an echo chamber, isn't it?
Yeah. Macca, it's a really important issue. We do have public hearings in Victoria. We don't have as much as, say, New South Wales and Queensland.
They're rare, though.
Yeah, we're currently going through our sixth public hearing on the Silk Miller police investigation. That's a really important one. The reason I wrote that is there's a bill currently before Parliament which will wind back the ability of IBAC to conduct public hearings. Now, I'm not an advocate for coercive bodies. When I say coercive, they've got powers to require people to produce documents or testify. And they're important practices. They should have those powers. But my concern is to make sure that IBAC continues in what I think is a fairly balanced approach. Mm. It's careful about not overusing public hearings, because one thing you wouldn't want to replicate is what they've done in New South Wales, where ICAC up there, which has a very important role to play, but it's become controversial in itself because it's just wandered off and it's destroyed careers when maybe it shouldn't have. IBAC's pretty balanced, and my argument there is it's really important to maintain those public hearings and they shouldn't be wound back. So that's what I'm arguing.
So why does the government want to wind them back?
I don't know. They haven't really explained why. I've argued there politely and courteously that, look, it's not a great idea.
We might have to ask the government.
We have to ask Jill.
Mm. I don't think it's a good policy step.
Yeah.
Clearly there's been a lot happening, and I have to actually just read one of the comments we've had from one of our listeners, one of our regulars actually, whom we absolutely love, says, John Pizzuto is a rare breed of the Liberal Party, refreshing to hear his views. It's time for renewal and to allow another generation to take over. They're too extreme and not liberal enough. That's a direct quote from 317, that's what we call them, because we don't know their name.
317, 317, you need to move.
Thanks, Mum.
You need to move to Hawthorne, potentially.
Okay, so you've heard that before then. So my question to you is, what advice do you have to your federal counterparts, given that they are on the brink of an election and potentially could be facing a wipeout, given that they've adopted this sort of extreme approach? What advice do you give them as somebody who's been through all of that?
I've argued, and I'll argue today as I have in previous weeks and the last couple of months, is that the electorate is changing, and it doesn't mean that you can't connect with them. As a major political party, we need to remember that our brief, as it is with the Labor Party and with other parties that have existed from time to time, we have to be able to make sure that as a party, there's no one in the community who can't look to us as a source of potential solutions and answers. And that means as a party, you've got to be open enough to hear them out, welcome them in. And if you're going to conduct yourselves as any political party, where there's a kind of orthodoxy where if you don't genuflect in front of that orthodoxy, you're not welcome in the party, then you're going to pay a price for that ultimately. And if you're open enough and you understand that there are, for example, people who themselves describe themselves as very conservative said to me, John, I couldn't vote Liberal at the last election. Sorry, mate, I couldn't vote for you. Nothing personal. Now, that really shouldn't be happening. But it's not just people who would describe themselves as conservatives, people who wouldn't, people who would describe themselves as more moderate. There were people who were coming to me and saying, look, there's one issue. Everything else I'm pretty okay with, or a couple of issues. And if we can remember that, you know, you shouldn't be disqualifying people from being supportive or identifying with the party because they might disagree with one policy that you've got. And to remember that, I think, and this is a lesson when you asked me before about why we lost, I think there's a lot around this. The way we conduct politics needs to change. Yep. And I get that news services are under a lot of pressure and there's a kind of symbiotic relationship between politicians and news services about, you know, sound bites and the rest. They're important to be able to, in a pithy way, explain what you're on about. But equally, you've got to engage, in my view, in more of a conversational approach where you're listening to the person, not waiting for them to stop talking. You're actually listening to them and thinking about their concerns and then saying, well, how do we deal with that?
So am I hearing you say, John, that you believe that your federal colleagues are not listening? Is that what you're saying?
I think I'm seeing some change. I hope it continues because I think at the time of the last election, the state election, and I said this publicly, Tass, I really wondered whether the feds had understood the lessons. I'm seeing some positive signs that they're making moves to address those issues, and they better, because otherwise, you know, they're going to see what the other end of a tough election looks like.
Well, they'll, you know, they probably wouldn't qualify, but they might need to know where the Centrelink office is.
So the answer, if I can just reinforce that answer, yeah, you've got to listen. I think they're learning some of the lessons, and I just hope that continues in the time they've got left.
Just quickly going back to corruption, John, Australia has slipped down the list in the list of least corrupt countries. We've gone down a few places. Your federal colleagues are... Labor is proposing a fairly strong anti-corruption commission at a federal level. Your federal colleagues have put up, I think, a pretty weak alternative proposal. There's got to be, assuming that both sides can't agree on that, there has to be some middle ground. But, you know, corruption, I believe, in Australia, it doesn't matter where it is, whether it's local government, state government, federal, business, whatever, I think is actually at a level that we actually shouldn't be tolerating. We're allowing it to go on. Do you think... I mean, I know Royal Commissions are the ones that have the most power and can do this, but do you think it's time that we actually had, perhaps not a state, but a federal inquiry into corruption in Australia, a Royal Commission? Because I think there's a lot of stories to tell and they can't get out there without the protection of a Royal Commission. What do you think on that?
Yeah, look, I think the feds will have to move on an anti-corruption commission. What I would argue is that, and you saw it in my piece that I wrote, it's really important where you've got anti-corruption policy. You do have to have multi-partisan support for it.
Of course,
And this is what I argue about New South Wales. Once they lose their credibility, it's very damaging. You need it to be something where all parties buy into it, and independents as well. Everybody buys into it. It's respected. So when you've got differences between Labor and the Libs federally, my hope is that they'll
work it out.
Converge on a consensus that represents a broad-based level of support to proceed with something. They do need something at a federal level. And remember, an anti-corruption commission is a royal commission. It's a standing royal commission. It has the same powers. Mm. And so if it doesn't have that, you run the risk where it's politicised. And once that happens, and you're seeing signs around the world where institutions are being traduced to the point where nobody will buy the result, even if it's a good result. Everybody just doubts its integrity, you can't have that.
It's back to the state of politics.
John, do you think that perhaps they're not listening, your federal colleagues are not listening to the community about the need for this commission?
My understanding is that they've moved on it, but there's still a big gap between Labor and Liberal. I do think that whatever the outcome of the next federal election, they've got to deal with it and institute a body at a federal level. They do.
John, we've run out of time, but it's been fantastic to have you in the studio.
Fantastic to have you in. We'd like you back once a month.
If you can pay me.
No. Well, no, we don't need to pay. No, we like...
It means regularly, but not once a month. That's too much.
Yeah.
No, I'd love to. That's very kind.
You know, to talk about some of these issues because they're really important to the community and wider community in our community. So thank you.
Oh, prego.
Pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.